जय यमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय यमुना तीर वनचारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी चारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव जय कुंज बिहारी जय राधव जय कुंज बिहारी हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे 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 रामा 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 हरे जय राधा गोपीनाथ राधा गोपीनाथ राधे जय श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल श्री गोपाल जय श्री गोपाल जय गौरनिताय 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 जय गौरनिताय प्रभुपाद 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 जय प्रभुपाद जय जय प्रभुपाद 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 ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः। So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, entitled Pure Devotional Service, and text number 31. Tasman mad bhakti yuktasya, tasman mad bhakti yuktasya, yogino vai madatmanah, yogino vai madatmanah, na jnanam na cha vairagyam, न ज्ञानं न च वैराग्यं प्रायश्रेयो भवेद् इह प्रायश्रेयो भवेद् इह। तस्मान् मद्भक्तियुक्तस्य योगिनो वै मदात्मनः न ज्ञानं न च वैराग्यं प्रायश्रेयो भवेद् इह। मद्भक्तियुक्तस्य वै मदात्मना न ज्ञानं न च वैराग्यं प्रायश्रेयो भवेद् इह। माताजी तस्मान् मद्भक्ति युक्तस्य न ज्ञानं न च वैराग्यं प्रायश्रेयो भवेद् इह। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग तस्माद् देयरफॉर मद भक्ति युक्तस्य ऑफ वन हु इज एंगेज्ड इन माय लविंग सर्विस yogina of a devotee, why certainly madatmanaha, whose mind is fixed in me, na, not, jnanam, the cultivation of knowledge, na, nor, cha, also, vairagyam, the cultivation of renunciation, prayaha, generally, shreya, the means of achieving perfection, bhavet, may be, iha, in this world. Translation and purport by disciples of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Translation. Therefore, for a devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. Purport. A surrendered devotee of Lord Krishna does not seek perfection through the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation outside the loving service of the Lord. Devotional service to Lord Krishna, being itself the supreme transcendental process, never depends upon secondary methods involving the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation. By chanting and hearing the glories of the personality of Godhead, a devotee automatically realizes all knowledge, and as the devotee's attachment to the Lord increases, he automatically gives up the attachment for the inferior material nature. The Lord has explicitly declared in the previous verses that a devotee should not solve his lingering problems by means other than devotional service. Although a sincere devotee has surrendered heart and soul in loving service to the Lord, there may be lingering material attachments that prevent the devotee from perfectly realizing the transcendental knowledge. Devotional service, however, will automatically eradicate such lingering attachments in due course of time. If the devotee tries to purify himself through cultivation of knowledge and renunciation, which fall outside the scope of devotional service, there is a danger of his being deviated from the Lord's lotus feet and falling down completely from the transcendental path. One who endeavors for purification outside the loving service of the Lord has not actually understood the transcendental potency of bhakti yoga and does not appreciate the extent of Lord Krishna's mercy. Within this world, one's heart is bound by sex attraction, which disturbs one's meditation on the lotus feet of the Lord Krishna. Intoxicated by contact with women, the conditioned soul becomes artificially proud and forgets his loving servitude to the Supreme Lord. Through determined cultivation of knowledge and detachment, a conditioned soul may try to purify himself without the mercy of Lord Krishna. But such false pride is to be given up, just as one must give up the false pride of material attraction. When pure devotional service to the Lord is available to a conditioned soul, attraction to other processes is certainly a deviation to his devotional career. Material desire stubbornly residing within the heart can be vanquished by taking full shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without false confidence in one's own cultivation of knowledge and renunciation, one should depend fully on the mercy of Lord Krishna and at the same time strictly follow the rules and regulations of bhakti yoga as instructed by the Lord himself. Om Jnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Tadasti Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsya He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण। सो वी वुड लाइक टू वेलकम ऑल डिवोटीज फॉर टुडेज भागवतम क्लास। एंड फर्स्ट ऑफ ऑल आई वुड लाइक टू सीक द ब्लेसिंग्स ऑफ ऑल डिवोटीज असेंबल्ड हियर, एस्पेशली सीनियर डिवोटीज, प्रभुपाद डिसिपल्स। एंड आई एम myself unqualified to sit here and speak, but considering this as an opportunity for my own purification, and today being the most auspicious day of Guru Purnima, the disappearance day of our Acharya Srila Sanatana Goswami, so it's a great fortune that we can speak about something about his glories also. So in this chapter, which is entitled "How the Pure Devotional Service," in the beginning of this chapter, Lord Krishna has been describing the basic three processes which the Supreme Lord has given through the scriptures to all the conditioned souls: the Karma Yoga, the Jnana Yoga, and the Bhakti Yoga. These three paths which are given for his progress to the spiritual world. And as is explained, means that these three paths can be adopted as per the capacity of the individuals, the conditioned souls, depending on their own good and bad qualities of the conditioned souls. The Vedic Shastras are the words which express the Lord's desire or the Vedic Shastras, they enunciate the various principles as prescribed by the Supreme Lord himself as a process how one can transform from this conditioned state to the liberated state. And these Vedic scriptures are based on an outlook of duality or based on the Varnashram Dharma. At the same time, we see that Vedic Shastras also prescribe that one has to transcend these dualities and actually develop love for God. So Uddhava, at the beginning of this chapter, he expressed his doubts just to clarify from the Lord himself that how is it that both these contradictory views which are presented in the Shastras, how one can actually reconcile these conflicting ideas and what is the best path. And so in response to that, Lord Krishna, through this chapter, he is explaining that the process of karma and jnana and the bhakti which has been given is actually for facilitating the attainment of liberation. The karma path is designated for those people who are not detached from their desire to perform work and who are fully are having a lot of gross desires in their heart. On the other hand, the path of jnana is for those who are detached from the fruits of their activities and who have given up the endeavor. Who have given up their material endeavors. On the other hand, the path of bhakti, which is like a balancing thing, is for those persons who have taken up the principle of yukta vairagya. So on the one hand, the path of karma is for those people who are not able to give up their gross activities, who have a lot of gross desires in their heart. The path of jnana is for those who have given up all their desire for fruitive activities or the fruits of their activities. But the path of bhakti is for those people, which is for people who have yukta vairagya and or appropriate renunciation. So we have gone through all these verses, and now in these concluding verses, Lord Krishna is actually establishing that how this path of bhakti is actually is not dependent on either jnana or vairagya. And he is explaining that how by actually devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all perfections which are desirable can be achieved. Anyone who renders devotional service, he will be able to fix his mind steadily on the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus all desires for sense gratification which are there in his heart can be vanquished or can be removed. And when one directly perceives the presence of the Supreme Lord, his false ego becomes completely eradicated and all his doubts are shattered. And actually all the heaps of material desires and all the previously acquired, all the results of various karma, they can also be vanquished or completely nullified. So, and just in the previous verse of this, the very famous verse which Prabhupada himself had made it a part of his song, Vidyante Hridaya Granthi Chidyante Sarva Samshaya Shiyante Chasya Karmani Mai Drishte Akhilatmani. So Lord Krishna is explaining that the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces, and the chain of fruitive actions is terminated when I am seen as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is what was explained in the previous verse. And in today's verse, Lord Krishna is saying that therefore, for a devotee engaged in my loving service, with mind fixed on me, the cultivation of knowledge and renunciation is generally not the means of achieving the highest perfection within this world. So Lord Krishna is establishing the supremacy of bhakti yoga to the other process of renunciation and knowledge. So in all the shastras, if you see that basically the two principles are explained, means one is the sadhya, or what should be the goal of our process, sadhya, and the sadhana, or the process which we follow for achieving various goals. So as in the scriptures it is established or given that the ultimate sadhya or the goal of any living entity who is conditional is Krishna prema, hai na? That loving devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And to achieve that sadhya, or if that is our highest goal which is given in the shastras, then what is the process or what is the sadhana which we need to follow? And that is prescribed in the shastras, as is given here also, is the process of bhakti. It is not knowledge or renunciation, you know, which is many a times people think that okay, to develop vairagya or jnana is the goal of many people. Many people who are attached to becoming a learned scholar like a pandit, they all feel that achieving jnana or getting one, if only if one gets knowledge, then he is able to perfect his life. Or if somebody is able to get renunciation, then he feels that, oh, that is the perfection of life. But here we see that Krishna is explaining developing jnana or vairagya may actually help us in achieving bhakti, but that is not the ultimate goal. So when a person actually he practices a lifestyle of sense control and tries to develop knowledge and renunciation, that can actually help. It means by performing tapasya, it can help him or aid him in the process of achieving bhakti. But that is not the ultimate goal. You know, even in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami Pad, he explains that he begins with the process of sense control. He says, Vacho Vegam, Manasakrodha Vegam, Jivva Vegam, Udarupastha Vegam, Etan Veganyo Vishidhita Dhira Sarvam Apimam Prithvim Sashishyat. To enable oneself to achieve the highest perfection in life, and such a person who is able to control his various urges, he is actually qualified to become the guru or the guru of the entire world, or make the entire world his shishya. And today, being Guru Purnima, we will see later on how Srila Sanatan Goswami, by his own practice of all these principles of bhakti, he was able to become the guru or the guide to the entire world. So we see that the knowledge and renunciation, which is explained or mentioned over here, is the dry speculative knowledge and the renunciation, dry renunciation, which actually makes one hard-hearted. On the one side, we see that Sanatan Goswami and Rupa Goswami and many other acharyas, they have given so many literatures, they have given so many books. We see just behind by the sides of both the sides of Prabhupada, there are so many books given. So the knowledge which is described over here, these are all devotional knowledge about what is our sambandha with the Supreme Lord, what is the process, abhidhya, and what is the prayojan. So this knowledge is not what is referred over here, the knowledge of devotional service. But the other speculative knowledge and other dry materialistic knowledge, which actually makes one hard-hearted. So that is what is being referred as a process separate from devotional service. In fact, means it is said the devotional service is actually described by Rupa Goswami Pad as in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. He says, Anya Bhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmadi Anavritam Anukulena Krishnanushilanam Bhakti Ruchyate. So, to be able to practice the pure devotional service, one has to ensure that his bhakti is anavritam of Jnana and Vairagya. Means, he says, many a times there is a possibility that even while reading devotional literature or studying devotional scriptures, there is a possibility or there is a danger that one's bhakti can be covered by Jnana and Vairagya. What is the possibility? When is that danger possible? That is, when one avoids practical service on the guise of reading scriptures. Because the purpose of reading scriptures or to develop knowledge about this process of devotional service is Prabhupada explains bhakti as devotional service. Means the purpose of bhakti is to perform service, devotional service. But if somebody just engages in reading scriptures just for the purpose of acquiring knowledge, and does not engage in practical devotional service, then there is a fear that he may end up becoming proud and end up in his bhakti being covered by Jnana. And the other reason or other possibility is when he actually becomes proud by gaining knowledge. Many a times by practicing various limbs of devotional service, the purpose of performing devotion is what? To become a servant of the Lord and servant of his devotees. But if someone becomes proud because of his devotional seva, then actually his bhakti becomes covered. So we can see many examples, like when somebody is able to give some very good class, or somebody is able to even something as simple as performing Nirjal Ekadashi. If by practicing various limbs of devotions which are all given by our acharyas, if by practice of that one actually starts to look down upon others, thinking that somebody else is not able to do Nirjal Ekadashi, I am able to do, or somebody is not, and I am able to do nice dressing of the Supreme of the Lord. So if somebody develops superiority complex because of all this, then actually the purpose is defeated. Means of humility, that one who is able to practice the process, the various limbs of devotional service, the main purpose is to develop humility. You know. And we can see that today, Sanatan Goswami, his entire life is an personification of humility, which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to teach us. So, here also in the purport, it is explained that if the process of bhakti is not dependent on the process of jnana or vairagya, whereas the other processes are actually dependent on bhakti for whatever results which we are able to achieve from them. Whereas bhakti, the process, is never dependent on others. It is independent, supremely independent. And by practice of the process of bhakti, it is explained that all other difficulties or all other obstacles which are on our path, that can easily be removed. And one is able to develop higher taste very easily. So in Bhagavad Gita also, it is explained by Lord Krishna that Vishaya vinivartante nirahārasya dehinam rasavargyam rasopyasya param drishtva nivartate. Means an embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, and by developing a higher taste, he is actually able to give up. Superficially, if we see, somebody may practice devotional service and then be able to give up the lower taste, and another person may artificially try to control his senses and give up. But then what is the difference between the two, if we try to see? Then it is just like a sick man. A sick man, because he is in the hospital, he does not have access to, or he is not in a position to enjoy good food or other things. But as soon as he becomes healthy, then his desire is always remaining there in the heart. He is not able to give up. But on the other hand, by a person who has pragya, means Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains in his commentary that a person who has actually developed pragya, he is able to distinguish between what is good and what is bad. And so he automatically gives up. Just like a person who's who has knowledge about the Supreme Lord, he is able to give up all the lower material desires. So when we from the life of Sanatan Goswami himself, we can see that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us various principles about the devotional service from the lives of his own devotees. Himself, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is all from the transcription of his lecture of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, which he gave during the Kartik Yatra. So, the four essential qualities of a Vaishnava have been shown by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through various of his followers or his disciples. And the first quality of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is explaining in Chaitanya Charitamrita that through four of his devotees associates, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has tried to show us how these four qualities of devotional service should be practiced. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with the example of Ramananda Rai, he showed that how one should practice the principles of self-control. Ramananda Rai, although he would be there with beautiful ladies and he would be decorating them and singing with them or massaging them, yet because he was always immersed in the eternal Leela of Lord Sri Krishna as Vishakha Sakhi, therefore he never had even a trace of agitation in his mind. So that was through Ramananda Rai he showed the principles of self-control. And through Damodar Pandit, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us neutrality. that Damodar Pandit, he would, as a service to all the Vaishnavas, as a servant, he would always try to correct any devotee if somebody committed some mistakes in following the Vaishnava principles. In fact, at certain times he would even correct Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And although when he appeared to transgress some Vaishnava behavior, so in such times he was never political. That is what is important. He was always neutral. And that was revealed through Damodar Pandit. Through Haridas Thakur, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us the attribute of tolerance and forgiveness. So although Haridas Thakur was beaten, he went through so much of atrocities, he was born himself in a very low family, yet through him, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us the principle of this entire Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. How by practicing this Sankirtan movement, we can actually develop love of Godhead in a very, very easy and simple way. And through Sanatan Goswami, he has revealed the principle of humility. Although Sanatan Goswami was qualified, is the most qualified person, and he considered himself very lowly and fallen. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never lose a chance to praise Sanatan Goswami. Means when all the devotees from Bengal arrived in Puri, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorified Sanatan Goswami with so many words, as though he had five mouths. And then all the devotees also became very happy. So that is the principle of Vaishnavism. Or a person who is a devotee, he is always glad or happy to hear the glories of other devotees. So that is a sign of non-enviousness. But Sanatan Goswami himself, he considered himself very low and not a devotee of the Lord. So Sanatan Goswami, there are so many pastimes and so many histories about Sanatan Goswami, it may be difficult to go through all of them, but yet just to get a glimpse of this entire thing, he was in Laghu Vaishnava Toshini, Srila Jivipa Goswami has mentioned that the family lineage of Sri Sanatan Goswami was that he was from a Yajurvedi Brahman family, coming in the lineage of Bharadwaja Rishi, Bharadwaja Gotra, from Karnataka. There were three brothers in this entire family. The lineage is also explained that there were three brothers, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami and Anupam. So, Sri Sanatan Goswami was born in the Christian year of 1488. And they along with all the three brothers, they used to study at their maternal uncle's house in the village called Sakurma, near the capital of Gaudadesh. The Nawab king, Badshah at that time, his name was Hussain Shah, and he, understanding the scholarship and the intelligence of these brothers, he invited them to his kingdom and made them gave them very high posts. Sanatan Goswami was called Sakar Malik and Rupa Goswami was given the title of Dabir Khas. And he made them to live at Ram Keli. Few years back we had been to Ram Keli as part of our yatra, and we had actually gone and seen all these places. And in this place of Ram Keli, because these brothers, they were endowed with the seed of devotion in their heart from the very birth, so they wanted to establish, they were always engrossed in the thoughts of Lord Sri Krishna and Vrindavan. So in Ram Keli also, they constructed all these places in such a way so that they could always remember Vrindavan. So they created, they planted many trees, auspicious trees from of Vrindavan. They created Radha Kund and Shyam Kund and all in these places, and they used to reside. And whenever devotees would come over there from Navadeep or from Karnataka, they would always make nice arrangements for their stay and facilitate them and hear Krishna Katha from them. In fact, even now also, if we go over there alongside Ganga, there is one place called Bhattabadi. That is belonging to Sanatana Goswami's house. And the three brothers, from their childhood, they had this seed of devotion in their heart. And one morning, when Sanatana Goswami was actually at the night when he was taking rest, suddenly he had a dream in which a Brahmana had come and he offered him a book of Srimad Bhagavatam. And so when, but Sanatana Goswami became so pleased just to see that Srimad Bhagavatam. And with a lot of anticipation, he opened his eyes, but then he saw that, oh, it was night time and there was no book. So he became very little sad. And later in the day, actually, this Brahman actually came and he could see, and he presented him this book of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from that day, having received this gift from this Brahmana, Sanatana Goswami would very religiously and very with lot of devotion, he would always read this scripture of Srimad Bhagavatam. And from then onwards itself, he had developed a great taste for this Bhagavatam. So, and in one of his prayers, he says that Srimad Bhagavatam is my only companion, my only friend, guru and wealth. That which has delivered me my great fortune, the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, Srimad Bhagavatam. And there is a very nice verse from Krishna Leela Stava, which is written by Sripad Sanatana Goswami. So later on, when Sanatana Goswami and the other brothers, they came to know that Nimai Pandit, who was very great learned scholar, had accepted sannyas. So, and gone to stay at Puri, they actually became very sad and fainted because all this, their life, they were dreaming that, okay, someday we will get the association of Shri Nimai Pandit or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But then, later on, when they heard from an Akashwani that, okay, don't worry, you will be blessed with the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Ramkeli itself, that is when they became little pacified, and then they started, and it took almost 5 years after that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Navadeep to visit his mother Sachi Devi as well as mother Ganga, that is the time after that visit he came to Ramkeli on his way to Vrindavan. So, and when actually Mahaprabhu had decided to come, that time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, then all the three brothers, Sanatana Goswami, that time Sakar Malik, Dabir Khas or Rupa Goswami and Sri Vallabha, his previous name was Anupam, they all offer, and who had a small son, and that was none other than Sri Jiva Goswami. So they all offered obeisances to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and after that, when Mahaprabhu left for Puri, the brothers, they then, and after receiving the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the brothers started to give up their so-called external material activities and try to engage in the direct service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So at that time, Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they sold off all their properties and everything, and they collected all the money and they put it up in a boat and they left from Ramkeli. Sanatana Goswami, however, remained there alone, and later on, after both Rupa Goswami and Anupam, they had successfully escaped from the hands of this Badshah Hussein Shah, Sanatana Goswami was thinking that how is he going to be get liberated from here. So the Badshah at that time, he came to Sanatana Goswami, Sakar Malik at that time, and told him that I am planning for an attack at Orissa, so I need your help, I want that you should join with me. But Sanatana Goswami now said that no, you are going to cause lot of pain to people by your war, and you are going to destroy temples over there, so I am not going to be any a part of this. So then the king, he became very angry and annoyed. He said, already your other brothers have left and now you are also deserting me. So This is not the way you can, you should reciprocate. I have been so kind to you all. So Sanatan Goswami said, okay, you are the king, so you can do whatever you wish. So you, if you want, if you feel, you can punish me. So then Sanatan Goswami was put in the jail. And when we had visited to Ramkele, we had saw that jail also. Even that building is still now there. So, and the Nawab himself, he had gone to Orissa as in his war campaign. In the meantime, Sanatan Goswami, using his own intelligence, and when he received a message from Rupa Goswami that he had deposited certain amount of money with some trader, so then Sanatan Goswami used that, and by taking the help of the jailer over there, he escaped from the hands of this the Nawab Shah, and he went to the shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, through various examples from the life of Sri Sanatan Goswami, we can see that how humility is like the most essential part of devotional service. The Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had wanted to establish the principles of Vaishnavism through the six Goswamis, and he had this desire that Sanatan Goswami should go to Vrindavan and establish, construct temples and write books and literatures so that the principles of Vaishnavism can be percolated to all the future generations. And for that, but then Sanatan Goswami was not feeling himself qualified. So, once it so happened that in Jagannath Puri, when Sanatan Goswami was actually, he had developed lot of sores during his travel, and because of that they were all losing pus and all, and every time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would see Sanatan Goswami, he would like to try to go and embrace him, because he had so much of love and affection for him. And Sanatan Goswami would always run away because he did not want to contaminate the clothes of and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of his sores. So one time he expressed his desire that see to who? Jagadanand. So, and that this is what it is. And hearing from Jagadanand, Jagadanand told that it's better that already Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has told that your home is at Vrindavan. So then you should leave from Jagannath Puri and you should go to Vrindavan. So when the next day, when Sanatan Goswami met with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and expressed his decision that I am leaving for Vrindavan now. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, asked him, who has told you that you should go now? So he said that it is Jagadanand who had, who is a senior pandit, and he has also a well-wisher, and he has given him this instruction that he should go. So then he said, "Arey," he said that, who is that Jagu? He is, you are fit to be his guru, and he is instructing you. It is how impudent he is. So thus, like, so then Sanatan Goswami, he started feeling, see, Jagadanand, he is so fortunate that he is getting chastised. It is only when somebody has love for somebody that he chastises him in such a way. So, in that way, this is how the Vaishnava relationship and how Vaishnavas, their heart is, it's very imbued with love and affection for one another. So, we should also try to emulate this. And then later on, when Sanatan Goswami actually came to Vrindavan and he stayed over there in a small kutir over there, and he in Mahavan, that is the birthplace of Lord Sri Krishna, and one day as he was walking along the banks of Yamuna and he was going to collect some food by Madhukari, so he saw that there was Madan Gopal Dev, one Madan Gopal, small young boy. He was playing with some of his cowherd boys. And when Sanatan Goswami saw this boy, immediately he had a great attraction towards him. And so he was feeling, who is this boy? And later on, that boy came to him and said that, oh, I want to go with you. Sanatan Goswami said, Arey bhai, you are living here. I am an old, means I am a saint sadhu. I am living in a just a makeshift house, hut. If you come with me, you won't get all the facilities. So better is that you stay with your parents. They will take good care of you. But this boy said, no, 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 I want to come with you. I want to come with you. And he said, what will I, if you stay with me, you will be able to eat only those dry chapatis with some chickpeas. He said, no, no, I am happy eating that. Don't worry. I will, but still I want to come with you. And later on, that night in the dream, he saw that the same boy had come. In Sanatana Goswami's dream, and he expressed his desire that tomorrow I am coming and I want to stay with you. And after the dream, and he could see that it was none other than the Supreme Lord. And when his dream finished and he woke up and he opened the door, then Madan Gopal was standing in front of him. And so that's how Madan Gopal, actually it is explained that this the deity of Madan Gopal, for whom he, later on he created this Madan Mohan temple, that was earlier being served by Damodar Chobe, and in his home by his wife, along with his wife and his son, and they had such a beautiful relationship. They would treat him as his one of his sons only, and the mother, while she feeding her own son and Madan Mohan, they would feed both of them together, make them rest together. In this way, they were having such a nice, but Sanatan Goswamiji was thinking that, oh, this is not the way you should be worshipping your deities. You should do it in a much more, with much more reverence and all. But later on, when he actually saw that, how Madan Mohanji was happy eating food with along with his this child of that boy's name was Madan Gopal. So then Sanatan Goswami told Ballabha Devi, the wife of Damodar Chobe, that no, you can continue to worship and take care of him as like your own son, as per your dictates of your heart. And then one night, Sanatan Goswami and Damodar Chobe both dream. Madan Gopalji came and expressed his desire that he wishes to be taken care of by Sanatan Goswami. So then Sanatan Goswami appeared in his home, and Sanatan Goswami was only offering these dry chapatis and chickpeas to the Lord, whatever he would collect by Madhukari. But one day, the Gopal, he came to him and said that at least along with this you should offer me some salt. Your chapati is not even having salt. So then, because Sanatan Goswami was engaged throughout the day in following the instructions of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu of reading the scriptures and writing books, so he was not able to get time. So he said to Gopal that today you are asking for salt, tomorrow you will ask for ghee. Where am I going to get all this? I don't have time for all this. I am not going to fall at the feet of all these rich people to collect food for you. Whatever I am able to give you, that's what you have to accept. So then Madan Gopal himself, he had to plan for creating of his own facilities. So he arranged that one very rich merchant, his name was Krishnadas Agarwal, when he was coming with a boat full of merchandise for trade. So at that time, that boat got stuck in the Yamuna, and it was with the help of Sanatan Goswami, that boat got released. Actually, he requested Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami said, I am a saint over here. I am sadhu. I don't have any position. What can I do for you? But you can pray to Madan Gopal. Maybe he can help you. And so, that merchant man, he prayed to the Lord. And that afternoon, there was so much heavy rain, that the river water in the Yamuna increased, and the boat was got released from the sand dune. And he became so happy that with the sale and the profit, whatever he made from Mathura, he came and he donated. And then he was able to construct this beautiful Radha Madan Mohan temple for him, and then arranged for lot of nice worship for him. So, Sanatan Goswami ji, through his various Lord Madan Gopal would have lot of personal interaction with Sanatan Goswami. When Sanatan Goswami had entered into some woods and he was absorbed in his meditation for Lord Krishna, and he forgot about taking food and all. He was almost like fasting. And so, one day when he was roaming, then suddenly one boy came with a lot of milk. And he said, Baba, this milk is for you. So, Sanatan Goswami thought, oh, I am in this woods and nobody is here. And how come this boy knows about me? So then he asked him. And he said, no, I am a cowherd boy. I am just herding cows over here. And I saw that from morning you have not eaten anything. So nobody should go hungry in my place. So I thought I will give you milk. And later on, Sanatan Goswami could understand that same boy. And he said, okay, I will give you your lota back. Wait, I will transfer this milk. But then by that time, that boy disappeared. And then Sanatan Goswami could realize that this boy is none other than Gopal himself, who came just because he cared for him so much. And then there was also this very nice pastime where Rupa Goswami had this desire that, okay, I want to make some nice sweet rice and offer it to Sanatan Goswami. And because he did not have any such facility, so he was thinking what to do. And then suddenly Srimati Radharani came in the form of a small girl, and she brought in all the ingredients of milk, rice, sugar and all everything. And when Sanatan Goswami had this sweet rice, he could understand, oh, this is really divine sweet rice. Where has it come from? And then when he came to know, then he actually reprimanded the Rupa Goswami. He said, don't have such desires. Otherwise, instead of serving Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani, we are rather putting them in our service. You know? So, which is not proper. So, every day Sanatan Goswami would circumambulate Govardhan Parvat. 14 miles every day. He would do it once. Long parikrama every day. And but then as he grew old, then it became difficult for him. Many a times when we also see, when as we are growing old and all, and certain services we are able to do, later on we feel, okay, better that we give up this service to somebody else who is able to perform it better. But then here we see that how much a sincere devotee, a sadhaka, he is actually attached to his service and he does not give it up. So, Lord had to personally come. The other day, one of our devotees were explaining that a devotee is so much attached to his service that even if Lord comes and tells him that, no, you don't need to do this service or you don't need to worship me, but still the devotee is fixed up. He says, no, I am not going to give up my service, even if there is a fall down. You know, it was being explained a few days back. So, here Sanatan Goswami is showing him by his own example. So, Lord Krishna came and told him that, you know, now you are old, you did not need to do this parikrama, such a long parikrama. But then Sanatan Goswami was not ready to give it up. So, then he gave him a shortcut. Means, he gave him a Govardhan Shila with the hoof print of the cow and the of the lati of Lord Krishna. And then he said that, you circumambulate this Govardhan Shila, which is there even today at Radha Damodar temple, and four times, and that will complete your this vow of completing this parikrama. So it is shown here that whatever vow we take, we should never give it up. So so in this way, it's already time, and in this way, Rupa and Sanatan Goswami actually they became devotees. They became the well-wisher of the entire village, and they would not only, although Rupa, Sanatan Goswami and was solely such a great scholar, and he had the the glory of creating Madan Mohan Temple and writing so many books. He has written Brihat Bhagavatamrita and many other books like Sri Krishna Leelastava, Bhagavat Tippani, on commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. But still, he was never feeling himself very qualified and very proud. That is the sign of humility which Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to enunciate through his example. And he would always deal with the villagers in such a friendly and loving manner that the entire village accepted him as their guide and as their spiritual master. And that is the reason that they would always take care of him. He would come to their homes and visit them. And although we say that Vaishnava should not engage in Gramya Katha, but still, out of care and love for affection for the people, he would ask that how are your children, how are your cows, how is your daughter getting married and all these simple talk, but then that was out of genuine affection. And because of which the villagers, when he became old, they made a hut for him. They would take care of him also. And when on this day, when on Guru Purnima, when Sanatan Goswami at the age of 70, when he actually passed away, then the entire village, they came together, and because as a mark of gratitude and love and appreciation for him, when he passed away, so then the entire village, all the people, they performed this Govardhan Parikrama. And that even today we see that, although the Kartik month is considered as the most auspicious, and Kartik Purnima, on that day many people come and do Parikrama, but it is said that today, Guru Purnima day, there are many, many times more people who actually come and perform this Parikrama as a mark of appreciation and gratitude to Shripad Sanatan Goswami. So today, on this very auspicious day, we should all pray to Sanatan Goswami and all the Acharyas for giving us devotional scriptures and the path, showing us the path of bhakti, how we can actually transform ourselves from this conditional stage and become actually a servant at the lotus feet of Shiva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the best way to show our gratitude is that it was said that once Prabhupada was asked that how we can express our gratitude to you. So then he said, the first thing is you should accept whatever I have given. So we should accept whatever knowledge and the path of devotion service which has been given to us. And not only accept, we should practice it. And proof of accepting something is that we practice the principles which is given. And third is to share it with others and to preach. So we should all seek the blessings of Shripad Sanatan Goswami. And I also beg at all the devotees lotus feet that I may be able to accept and practice all the principles and help with in this preaching mission, so that this knowledge can be shared with all the conditioned souls. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Thank you for your patient hearing. Hare Krishna. Shripad Sanatan Goswami ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki. Samaveda Gaur Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.